Now, this story I want to tell you, I'm reading a book, and I want you to know this. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we have our flashback, our request, coming up. But that was cool last night hearing that Mrs. Edelman bit. Now, what's tonight, Mark? Because it's not an oldie, is it?
Raj Fanin and NASCAR driving.
That's kind of cool. All right, now, I'm reading a book. It's really interesting. But this story I'm about to tell you, I laughed really hard because it reminded me of something. And here's the book that I'm reading. It's a book about, believe it or not, I'll make this really short. It's a book about, believe it or not, American Jewish prisoners, American soldiers that were Jewish at the end of World War II. Did you know they were putting, 400 of them were put in a concentration camp and worked, a lot of them were worked to death. These were soldiers, these were American soldiers. Now, up to that point, even the Nazis didn't put Jewish American soldiers in concentration camps because they were prisoners of war and they figured that they had to kind of treat them better. But at the end of World War II, they actually captured 400 Jewish American soldiers, U.S. Army soldiers, and put them in a slave labor camp and worked these guys to the point of like those Auschwitz guys. They were like 80 pounds and they were sick and a lot of them died and they put them on a death march. I mean, they beat them with rifle butts. Now, one of the cats that was imprisoned with them, because the Nazis were so stupid that they didn't know really which guy was Jewish and which wasn't. So some guys got put in that weren't Jewish, and one of them was actually a German-American by the name of Hans Kosten. This guy was raised in America, born here, but, you know, his parents came from Germany. He's an American soldier, and he's in this concentration camp, too. Now, he was the ranking American officer among these prisoners, and he went to the commandant, and he said, I don't like the way my men are being treated. This is against the Geneva Convention. So this commandant, in response, took a rifle and swung it like a baseball bat and knocked this guy, almost caved his head in with it, right? And so they would kick his ass daily because, like this German said to him, there's only one thing worse than a Jew. It's a race traitor and a German that's a traitor to his country, and that's what you are. And the guy said, I'm an American. I'm not a German. Well, you dirty swine. And so they hit him again with the baseball bat rifle. This guy had his ass kicked, and along with a lot of these poor Jewish American prisoners, these guys were starved and almost wasted. And very few people know this story. It shocked the hell out of me to know that American soldiers were put in this situation. Bad enough that, you know, civilians, but these guys were soldiers, and they didn't even know what the hell was happening to them. It wasn't like they, you know, got put in this camp in 1939, and they knew, because they were Americans, and they came over to, you know, shoot Germans, and the next thing you know, they're loading up these carts full of coal rock and stuff. So now comes the end of the war. Fortunately, these guys were only put through this for a period of about 8 weeks. They were captured at the Battle of Bulge in December, and the end of the war came around May. Now, here's the thing. This guy, Hans Kosten, was a real hard case. He was a real tough dude, very uncompromising guy, stood up for his men, and he really, really, really hated the living guts of the German commandant, which was a guy named Willy Hack. This was the cat's name that ran this camp. Now, what happens is this guy Kosten, along with two other guys, escapes, makes his way down to a British force, and they finally put him in a hospital, and they're liberated. Now, he gets out of this hospital because he finds out that the war's over. Now, he's still 90 pounds, dehydrated, malnourished. You imagine a guy from Auschwitz, one of those poor guys that looked like skeletons, doing what this guy did. He's so full of hate for this Willy Hack guy. He goes into the main square of the village that they're in Germany and goes to a pile of weapons that the American soldiers told the Germans, all the German citizens and the soldiers, pile your weapons here. He picks out a few Lugers, pulls a few daggers, what they called in those days, appropriated a Mercedes-Benz, because at the end of the war, Americans were basically telling the German civilians, you know what, you don't own that car anymore. Live with it. So he takes the Mercedes, loaded down with Lugers and daggers, and takes off in this Mercedes looking for Willy Hack. The dude is 90 pounds, hasn't eaten, hasn't had anything to drink. He can only think of one thing. He's going to find this guy. He's tearing ass around the country, and he's going to all of the POW cages that we're keeping Germans in now. He screams into one of these places, jumps out. Now, he's a lieutenant, so he runs over to one of the sergeants. He says, I'm looking for an SS officer. And the sergeant says, well, there's a bunch of them over there. So he starts going up and down the line looking for Willy Hack. You know? Now, the guy's a scarecrow, man. He's a walking skeleton. He says, that ain't the guy, you know? Now he goes to sleep. The next morning, the sergeant comes, wakes him up. He says, I think I got your guy. He says, oh, yeah? He says, yeah. So they go out there. He says, is that him? It's an SS lieutenant. And he says, no, that ain't the guy. He says, well, this German American sergeant says, he's SS and he's a lieutenant. Why not? And this guy says, you're right. So they take the guy into the cellar of this building so there's no witnesses because they're going to kill this guy slow because he's SS, he's a lieutenant. He ain't Willy Hack, but it's going to make Hans feel better. Right? So he tells him to take his boots off, take off his belt, and the soldier says something about the Geneva Convention. Now, this guy, Hans, and the Americans know that the Germans didn't respect the Geneva Convention, but he also realizes he's about to murder a guy that he doesn't want to kill, so he says, I'm going to let you go, but if you say anything to me about the Geneva Convention, I'll kill you as you leave, so just shut up and leave. Now he's frustrated because he can't find Willie. He takes his guns, takes his daggers. He still hasn't eaten, still hasn't had a thing to drink. He's 90 pounds. He jumps into his Mercedes. He tears out again, looking for Willy Hack. Finally comes to some German Hof, which is like a hotel. Walks in his American uniform, because the Germans never took the uniforms off these guys. Slams a stack of German marks on the desk and says, I want the best room you've got, right? They put him in the presidential suite. He collapses on the bed. And finally, his pounding head and his stomach make him realize he's in trouble physically. And so he calls for some American medics, and he says to them, you guys can have the Mercedes, but get me in an ambulance and get me to the hospital. So he never found Willy Hack. He finally got something to drink and something to eat 48 hours after he'd gotten liberated.
Yes, hi. I'm calling about the guy from that's talking about NASCAR and everything.
Are you there, Mr. Fanine?
Yes, I'm right here, yes.
Yeah, one thing you got to accept, though, man, being an American, you have the freedom to do whatever you want. Yeah, I understand you have the respect to the right to say that things are stupid and everything, and that's your opinion, but what does it matter to you what we do? Because, one, if we purchase something, we obtain a receipt for it, that's ours to use in any fashion that we choose. That's what makes this country so special and unique. And second of all, before you consider something, you really have to observe the sport itself. I mean, because we use NASCAR as a sport. It's auto racing and everything. And I'm a school teacher, as a matter of fact, to even go on, as a matter of fact, that in the Middle East, what's that game that they play where they use dark carcasses on horses? Come on. You get a lot of people for the People Ethic Treaty of Animals on you for that
it's
kind of
dead,
stuff.
It's a dead goat. It's dead. It's already dead, you know, which is a much better sport than to steal oil and to drive the car, you know. That's wrong. To steal our oil and drive it in a car.
All right. See, okay. That's what's unique. You know, you've only been in this country for 4 years, and you got the right to express your opinion, but you got to respect the other opinions of everybody else in this country because that's the American way.
Well, but what is to respect? You know, you don't know what you're talking about. This is taking
I don't know what I'm talking about, huh?
Well, you just come
over here, and you start talking about fast food and everything, and you got to keep in mind, fast food is for everybody. That's a convenience.
It's not
that's
for
a
me.
Luxury.
No,
if you don't like the fast food, don't eat it.
Yes,
that's your freedom.
But
you have the freedom not to eat it. Don't eat it.
Don't
that's
you
all
think
you have
it's
to do.
Funny? Don't
if
you,
you
think
don't
it's
like
funny?
The values, hey, you
if,
have no values in this country.
If you keep supporting NASCAR, the Middle East will ban America. If you keep, listen to me. If you keep supporting NASCAR,
I've heard you enough already. It's my turn to speak.
All right, hold it, gentlemen, hold on for just a minute, Mr. Fanine, just get in your one point. Let Paul continue.
If I'm just trying to say, if they keep supporting NASCAR, the Middle East will ban America from oil. You will never have more oil. You must not race these cars no more.
But the thing is, though, the Middle East doesn't have to sell it. If the Middle East wants to say no, they can say no, but they're going to sell it because why? They're getting their pockets lined financially.
And let me ask you,
Americans,
do you supersize?
Yes, I do. What's wrong with that?
You Americans kill me with that.
Hey, that's our choice, you know? That's our choice.
Hey, Paul,
I got
Paul.
250 million people in this
Paul.
Country that will supersize, you know?
Hey, Paul, when you get off the phone with me tonight, why don't you go get your Taco Supreme?
As a matter of fact, I am going to go have dinner right now. I mean, yeah, thank you. That's good advice, you know? That's our choice.
Be sure you supersize.
It beats eating fried cab all day.
What's the big joke with supersizing?
No, the Americans kill. They put me away with that whole thing. You know, hey, will you supersize or do you want to have? Do you get Cali fry?
I'm happy the way I am. That's all that matters, you know?
Look at all I'm saying to you.
Look, you're coming on and you're mocking people who supersize. You're talking about NASCAR. Didn't you hear that one gentleman say that it is a kind of an ethanol? It's a high.
See, listen to you. You don't even know this man, Paul. He don't know. Do you want to make? Hey, Paul.
Do you know what the fuel is?
Hey, Paul.
Have you inspected the fuel?
Hey, Paul.
Have you inspected the fuel? You inspected the fuel? That's what I'm asking you. Have you ever been to a NASCAR? Have you been to a racing event?
What's fuel?
Been to a racing event?
I went. I see it on
TV. Have you been to a racing event? That's what I'm asking you. I'm asking the question.
Yes, I saw the goat race.
Okay. Have you been to one? Have you been to one physically instead of sitting there and watching it on TV?
Yes, I saw the goat race in Afghanistan.
Okay, Dan, you don't have to watch it. Change the channel.
Hey.
That's what the remote is for.
Paul,
change the channel.
Make it a biggie.
Change the channel.
You should make your taco a biggie.
Change the channel.
I'm not going to change the channel to see you. You will never have oil again.
All right.
Obviously, he's just...
What I'm saying is that this man needs to shut his mouth and listen to me.
I'm not going to shut my mouth, pal. No way. That's my freedom to speak.
Listen to you. This is what you said.
That's my freedom to speak, pal. That's what this country is all about.
Paul, this is what you said.
That's what this country is all about.
Okay, that's fine.
We have the freedom to speak.
Okay, that's fine. But listen, this is what you said. You went...
Hey, Paul. Hey, Raj.
That's the what you just said.
He what?
Don't let Phil take over. It's your show, Phil. I'm sorry.
Listen to this man trying to tell you what to do.
Phil,
all right, hold on.
Phil,
both you guys.
Over.
Gentlemen, hold on. What are you saying?
When the man, he went like this.
That's what I want to do.
Are you making fun of him? Why don't you address the points that are being made here?
He's not talking to me. I asked him, is he going to make it a biggie? Are you going to make it a biggie?
Well, there you go. That's our flashback request. And that kid never did answer Raj. Are you making it a biggie or are you not? There's Raj Faneen taunting Americans with their supersizing. The world famous Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Our webcast is on the 17th. You got to get your backstage pass for that, baby. And, you know, I shouldn't say this, but we have a very nice lady emails the show occasionally. And you know who you are, baby. She's out there in Joshua Tree. Should I mention? Because we're big fans of hers. How do you pronounce her last name, though? Napolitano? Jeanette Napolitano from Concrete Blonde. So she's out there in Mojave. And I want to do something special for you on our webcast, Jeanette. We're going to hold up a sign or something. I don't know. We'll play some Concrete Blonde, some jazz like that. But get your backstage pass if you got the, you know, ability to, have you got any high-speed internet out there in Joshua Tree? Or are you guys still doing it by way of Burrow out there? I don't understand, you know. She's listening to the local Palm Springs affiliate, which I dig, and I'm very happy you're doing that. If you're getting it clear, that's cool. Now, she's a very, very nice lady, and occasionally she'll email us and tell us, you know, there's a couple of bits that that we did that were funny, and plus the fact that we support my friend's place. Jeanette's from Hollywood, so it's her hometown and like that. All right. Now, I want to get Mike Yansky on the phone, and Michael is joining us from the Expo, which I know is going on now through Sunday. It's the Home Building Expo. Correct, Mike?
Well, the Home Building Expo is just part of it, Phil, but we're actually right now in the middle of trying to eradicate a bee infestation that we found here in a home in the Highland Park area. And there's probably anywhere in the neighborhood of 30 individuals here. They're all relative to the extermination business. And we've even got some people here from the public health department because this home was infested with bees. And we've been called out. I'm Mike Yansky, and I am the exterminator here on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, everybody. I'm in the Highland Park area right now. And you can hear just a very, very faint sound. You hear that bee there, Phil?
Yes, I do.
All right, you can hear there's bees flying everywhere. And we're going to try to actually detect there's one bee that got into the house. Now, these are a pretty dangerous brand of bee. It is the African bee. It's the large African bumblebee, which, if it stings you, I don't know what happens. Your face swells up to the size of a globe, of a, you know, it'll it just, you look, it's bad. So we're going to go in now. You hear that, Phil?
I do. Is that bee in the house?
It is in the house somewhere. Excuse me. I'm just talking to the fire captain here. Now you can hear it's getting longer there. Where is this bee at? And, okay, I'm in the bedroom. It looks like the master bedroom. Oh, okay, I get it.
What?
Well, I located the sound, Phil. It's not a bee.
Well, what is it?
What'd you say?
What is it?
Well, let me put it this way. It is about the shape of a butternut squash. It takes 12D batteries.
All right.
And somebody left it on. So I don't know what the hell. This is Mike Yansky, your exterminator.
All right, man. Hang up, will you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why do I have to have an exterminator on a show? What's that about?
Mr. Hall said, because you need a lot of exterminating.
Yeah, huh? Well, let me tell you something. These little home improvement bits, I don't like them. I don't like them at all. I find them humiliating, if you want my honest opinion. We got to get an exterminator on. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not a bee. It's a freaking marital aid. It needs 12D batteries. What the hell, man? I got kids listening to this show, I think. All right, 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, I will tell you also that included in our podcast, of course, included in our webcast, of course, will be a multi-camera approach to this thing. And that means that we not only have a camera that'll be on me, there's going to be one on Harry, there's going to be one on Mark, there's all kinds of stuff. And I suppose we ought to have some special guest stars come in here. So we'll try and find ourselves a celebrity, go down onto the street, see if there's anyone down there. Let's, you know, picking Lynn out of their belly button or trying to use the, automatic teller or something like that. Somebody in line at Starbucks. And the other thing that's going to be happening when you see this webcast is you're going to be, as I said, you're going to be seeing the behind the scenes. Now, sometimes we'll have the audio on and sometimes we won't. I don't care whether you hear four-letter words, but I'm not exactly going to give over the keys to the kingdom here. You know what I'm saying? So in some areas, if we're screening phone calls, you may see us but not hear us. In other areas, though, if we're just sitting off the air creating or writing or talking or sharing, you know, intimate details of some physical exam we just had or a blood test, sure, have at it, man. The audio is going to be wide open on that. You know. You'll see how the show is performed, how I do the characters, how we go in and out of character. And it'll all be there for $6.95. Now, if it sounds like I'm really trying to push this baby to make a lot of money off of it, you've got that right. I see this as my big shot, man, my big pay-per-view shot. The other thing is we're going to be doing it once a month, so there'll be ample opportunity to make a lot of... there'll be ample opportunity for you to see the show if you miss it this time. You know, like, this is what they do with these. When you get the... I'm sorry, but, I mean, a lot of these champions... Most of our heavyweight champions, all of our heavyweight champions, except for Klitschko, are black or Hispanic. When's the last time we had a white guy who was a heavyweight champion? Well, we got to go back to what? World War, we got to Graciano, or no, what's his name? Marciano. Marciano was the last.
He's Italian.
Yeah, ain't that white?
Well.
Get out of here. I think Marciano was the last white guy who was a heavyweight champion. And in any event... Most of them are now African-American champions, and, you know, when they're making a comeback, well, the first thing you want to do is pull some stiff, some big, tall, white stiff out of the Little Orphan Annie. Next time you bring him on, I don't want that Star Wars music anymore.
Mr. Hall wants it.
I don't care. I don't want it anymore. It scares me. Gives me the... Makes me have a bad, you know, stomach.
Spastic colon?
Yes. In any event, that's what we're going to do, this Kevin McBride guy. Anyway, it's pay-per-view. How much are you going to pay? You're buying it? You going to buy it, Harry? You're not going to buy it. So he's getting $5 million for the fight, and this guy McBride's getting 150 Gs. I don't want to see Tyson fight anymore. Do you? You really do. I mean, I don't want to see... Look, I remember when I... You know, I got to go back to when I was a kid watching Ali, when he beat up on that Wepner. I remember Ali just pummeling Wepner. He's going to say, what's the kicks in this? Watch the guy just, you know, take some cat's face apart. I don't know. Boxing is, it's a great sport. It's an interesting sport. I think on the amateur level, it's really great to watch. I like watching Olympic boxing. I actually went to Olympic boxing when I was here in L.A. I think it's, in my opinion, it's more what the sport's about. These guys that want to go in and watch a guy get brutalized another human being, you know, not wearing any headgear, possible brain damage, and, you know, and in a fight like this, where somebody is, I don't think this kid's going to get hurt, but it's going to be so one-sided, it's ridiculous. And there isn't any real sanctioning body. These guys, this athletic commissions are a joke. I mean, boxing continues to be a joke. It continues to be a freaking joke. In any event, I can't wait. Get my popcorn. Last fight that I saw was Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson. And I was the biggest jackball in that entire house. I was sitting at a friend's house. This guy had one of those home theaters. And man, did he have it going on, man. He had a big screen. He had three rows of seats kind of gradually elevating. He had the big popcorn machine sitting there. He had the bar. And I was over there with a bunch of guys. And, you know, I had just enough tequila in me to go, I'm going to tell you right now, man, don't count Tyson out of this. I think he'll take this guy apart. What kind of an alcoholic? And my friends were all just kind of, really? You know, just giggling. Because I thought Tyson was going to do the old, I'm going to get inside and, you know, pummel away on the body thing. Forget it, Henry. How long you been around? You ever seen that work against a big, quick man? So there I was. So, yeah, that was the last time I saw Tyson fight. He didn't look too good. I also saw the big ear-biting fight. You see that one? Against, who was the guy? Oh, Evander Holyfield. When he bit Holyfield's ear. I personally, I've just had about enough of that cat, man. But I think Mike Tyson, just double up whatever he's taken. Just double it up. That's all I'm asking. That's all I'm asking. If it's Librium, if it's Deseril, if you're on some neurotransmitter, elevator, any whatever you're taking, double up your prescription. I think you'll be fine. Also, I blame that, what's her name? The chick he was married to. Well, Givens. I blame her for it all. She's the one that just, she set it off. With your big, fat, stupid mouth, taking advantage of that poor, dumb kid, marrying him for all of his dough. You no-talent broad. You set that guy loose into the world. Mike, you're going to be all right. Double up. Beat the hell out of this guy. Work your way back. I think by the time you're 51, and if you have a hamburger maker, you got it made. You see Tyson fighting at like 50, like Foreman? Remember Foreman? God, that guy was exciting. That's what people like, you know? Where's old George now? Still raking in the dough at a hamburger maker? And all his kids are named George. What a nut.
Typical black guy.
What's that supposed to mean?
They're always doing stuff like that.
What do you mean they're always doing stuff like that?
They're always saying, like, a black person, you know, they wear purple and they name themselves after cars and stuff. Like, guy's name is Chevrolet or something.
You know, you're not allowed in this conversation because you're a racist.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You say you don't like black people.
I don't, but still.
Yeah, I don't, but still, there's reason not to like them. God, I'd like to hurt you and hurt you bad.
I can't even name all his kids George. That's so black. That's such a black thing to do.
Because the guy wanted to name his kids George.
Well, how does he know the difference? Oh, I take that back.
What, they all look the same?
You said it, not me.
All right, but I'm going to take a break, and then I'm going to get out of this chair, put my headphones down, and come over there, and I'm going to kick you until you're unconscious.
Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I guess that shows that socioeconomically, African-Americans find it far more, conducive to fighting.
You done?
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean?
Because you're going to go into a whole, you're going to justify it.
Justify what?
You're going to try to say that black people are fighting only on account of making money, not that they're better.
Oh, I see. So in other words, you subscribe to the eugenics theory that blacks are made to fight.
Yes.
How do you figure that?
Just look at the size of their thighs.
God, you're a racist. Their thighs? That's stuff that the Nazis used to teach.
But it's true. Black folks are better because their butts are bigger and their thighs are thicker.
Are you an idiot?
And they can take the punishment of the face.
Why?
Because the lips are big and cushiony.
Come here, bud.
Don't hurt me.
Hey, man, I guess you needed some big, thick, cushiony lips. Look at this. Now my headphones are screwed up.
Yeah, I hit the tard.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Dear Phil.
You hurt me.
Yeah. That's how they can take all those punches off the face, huh? Because of the big, thick, cushiony lips.
Yes.
You got some kind of... You're so stupid, I don't know where to begin with you. Yeah, that's exactly what I think. In terms of money and socioeconomic progress, athletics has always been the preferred profession for African-American young men because it's the easiest way to access success and a large amount of money. Yes. Much easier than trying to go into freaking business.
I don't even know what you just said.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. You're so dumb. My wife and I are moving out of California.
You are?
This is a letter I'm reading. Dear Phil, my wife and I are moving out of California. We have decided to cash in on the equity and beat it. Why? Your rotten show. No. It says we've decided to cash in on the equity and beat it. The sad part is where we are moving, I can't catch you on the local radio. However, with my iPod and a backstage pass, bam, baby, it'll be just like listening to you on the radio. I picked up one of those speaker sets for the iPod so I can place it in the house and listen like nothing ever happened. Thank God for that backstage pass. I feel at home already. Rob R. Okay, dude, we'll miss you, and wherever it is you're going, have fun, man. And thanks for taking us with you. It says, yo, Phil, it's Lawrence with some funny lines. Now, Lawrence, don't get too familiar with me, man. All right, he says here, in March of 2004, Father James McQuarters was yakking on and on about how he loved Mel Gibson's movie. The funniest line from that one had to be when the father said to a caller, are you a Jack Catholic or are you just a jackass? The next one comes from January of 2002. Margaret Gray was on to tell of the sad news. Her dog recently had died. As the story goes on, we learned the dog had one of... Oh, man. He says, Margaret Gray was on to tell of the sad news that her dog had recently died. As the story goes on, we learned that the dog had one of Margaret's used tampons in its mouth, causing her to kill it. The funniest line from that was something like, I grabbed my golf club and took a couple of practice swings. And always classic one from Raj, do you supersize and shut your mouth? Man, that's great stuff. A dedicated fan, Lawrence, a visually impaired fan in Valrico, Florida. P.S. Where does that hole, if you play the gutless wonder one more time, I'm going to take this grenade, shove it down your throat, and pull the pin come from? That's a good question, Lawrence. It's from the movie Attack. It's a line spoken by Jack Palance to Eddie Albert. And it's part of the plot of the movie. All right, man, thanks so much for your email. And a guy sent a story here that's very bizarre. Some dude in Florida... A teacher quits his job, not in Florida, I should say. It's in New York. A teacher quits his job to abduct his daughter and flee. It was planned apparently for some time after learning that his ex-wife was to remarry in May. The father has gone off the extremes to kidnap his daughter against the order of the court. Family fears the worst after learning a father had cleared his bank accounts and disappeared with his daughter. It's not clear at this time if the child is in danger. This guy sent this to me for some reason. I don't know what. Maybe it was a Herb Sewell thing. But anyway, it's pretty weird, and this little girl is missing. This is out of New York Today, and I'm sorry I bummed you out with all of that.
Oh, that's high comedy, man. Thanks a lot for locking out with that.
Well, I don't know. I lost his email.
That's great.
I
don't go to a break, you retard.
All right, it's time. We'll
got a punchline for that. Man abducts daughter. Oh, God.
I had...
Yeah, you had it, but you don't.
I thought I had something here.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you say the word stiff and adjust yourself again?
Will you shut up with that? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We have Harvey Wireman on the phone, who is my attorney, and we also have calling in one of our listeners, who's sort of representative of our listeners, Jeff Dowder. Your gentleman are there, right?
I'm right here.
Yeah, I'm here, Phil.
Okay, Harvey, do you have the legal ease on this podcast situation? Why people who are listening to the Phil Hendry Show podcast are not hearing music?
Sorry.
Hello?
Yeah, hold on, Jeff, and then you'll get the comment. Mr. Wireman is going to give you the legalese, and then you can comment.
Okay. What did you say?
What do you got, the TV on?
Yeah, I'm watching TV Land. Or you got a problem with that?
No, I don't have a problem.
Yeah, well, I'd ask him to have the common courtesies to turn it down so I can hear what's going down. Jesus. Phil, it says here that the subscribers' recent court rulings have made clear that music of almost any kind cannot be included in podcasts since, unlike streams, podcasts are a physical copy of the audio, and music is not licensed for this use.
Okay, right there, I want to just jump in.
I'm not done yet for...
Let him finish.
Well, I want to jump in, though. See, first of all, when you...
Can I ask a question at this juncture?
Go ahead.
Am I going to be allowed to... Do I have this idiot? What's the idiot doing?
This is not an idiot, Harvey. He's a listener of mine.
You know, that's pretty harsh. I was trying to determine what's going down.
I'm telling you what's going down.